James chapter 4, and we'll read verses 6 through 10 today for our message, and we'll be dealing with the subject today of receiving more grace. Receiving more grace. I think all of us need that. We need, sometimes we know we've received great grace from the Lord, but at the same time we still have need of more. And so we'll think about that today, receiving more grace as he speaks of it in the context in which we see it in the book of James here. James chapter 4, let's begin to read verse number 6, and we'll read down through verse 10. James 4, verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. The very first verse there, verse number 6, says, But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Context here is how we are to be careful, as we looked at last week, in our communicating, especially with one another as believers. And James is focusing inwardly here, as we started into this last week. He's focusing inwardly here, as this is where the real issues of communication originate. They originate within us. It so happens that in our Jeremiah message today that we're dealing with the heart and with inward things. And in fact, here in James, we are also dealing with the subject of inward things and how that it's not just a controlling of our speech that James is speaking of here, not just controlling it from the standpoint of as a human being being able to physically do that, but more controlling it based on the heart and the intentions and the purposes of the heart being right with God. And so if we're right with God in heart, then we're not going to want to say certain things. If we stay right and close to the Lord in our heart, then we won't want to do things that are going to be damaging and hurtful to others. And so it's the heart is vital and important. And of course, as we live our lives, we're to live in sincerity and truth. And as God's people, as those who are the Lord's people, we above all else have the privilege with our heart, because the grace of God, of walking in a way that pleases him. So we'll look at this today, receiving more grace. We need more grace. He gives more grace, the very first statement that is made here. We'll look at what is the real issue, verse number 6, what to do about it, verses 7 through 9, and what will result in verse number 9. So three things today, three parts of our message. What's the real issue? What do we do about it? And what will result? What's the result? Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we go further. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity now to open your word, that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, we need you. We need your help. We need your strength and your assurance. We pray that your spirit might bless and that we might, Lord, in heart, each one of us, have your spirit leading, and that we'd yield to him as he opens our eyes to the understanding of the word here. And we do pray that you might give us clear discernment, clear understanding, and forgive us where we do fail you. Thank you, Father, for all the many ways in which you have blessed us and cared for us through the offering of your Son. And Lord, we praise you for having died at Calvary, having shed your precious blood, that we might be right, we might be cleansed, washed from our blood, from our sins in your blood. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the way that you worked within us to will and to do of your good pleasure at the very moment of our salvation. And we pray that you might work the same even more so today and that you'd give to us a realization that we need more of you. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. More grace. Receiving more grace. Well, receiving more grace is, as we just prayed, is receiving more of the Lord. I mean, we need God, and we need His presence in our lives. We need His power in our lives. We need the provision of God upon our lives, and without Him, we're kind of at a loss. And even as God's people, those that know the Lord, we're at a loss without the Lord's, without that additional grace that we need as His people. We have been given the grace of God, and we stand, in a sense, under the grace of God as far as our standing is concerned with God. It is totally of God's grace that we are right with Jesus Christ, and that grace is an everlasting thing that keeps us continually in a standing, and in a relationship with God that never ends, and that is a wonderful relationship that we have with the Lord. But we also know that day by day that we need more grace. We need grace to walk, to live, to do what the Lord has us to do, and to be sustained in our lives. And it is not the Lord's will to have saved us from the penalty of our sin, so that then through this life we just endure this life and go on to be with the Lord. But rather, He has saved us from the power of our sin in our lives, so that we, by the grace of God, through His grace, can live in a way that pleases Him and can live with joy and rejoicing in our lives. And He would provide that joy. And so we need more the grace of God. We need His grace day by day. We need a grace that sustains us, that cares for us. It's the power of God in our lives. It's His own provision and power to give us victory over sin and give us all the provision that we need as the Lord's people. And so thinking a little bit about what the issue is. Look, first of all, what is the real issue that's being spoken of that James is talking about here? We're dealing with Christianity 101, book of James here. We're dealing with fundamental things about the Christian life, very fundamental, elementary things about the Christian life in one respect. Verse 6, but He giveth more grace. He says, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. What is it? What's the real issue? When he says in verse number 6, God gives more grace, but He resists the proud, and He gives grace to the humble. And what's the real issue? Well, it's that whether or not we're proud or humble, right? I mean, it's because He's going to give grace to the humble, but He's going to resist the proud. And so whether we are proud or humble, where does that come? Well, that's an inward thing. That's something on the inside. That whether or not you're proud or whether you're proud or whether you're humble, it's not necessarily something even that people can see. You can see kind of the results of it sometime, but you can't really know the intentions of a person's heart. And so what is the real issue is what's inside is what matters. We need more grace. He says He giveth more grace, but He giveth more grace. Why does He say that? Because we are a people who have an old nature that is sometimes victorious over our new nature. In a sense, we yield ourselves to the old nature. Verse 5, it just got through telling us, do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Don't you realize that we have two natures within us, and those two natures are in a battle? And so we need more grace. We need grace to have victory over the old man. We need grace day by day that we might be filled with joy, because we're not going to be a joyful people as God's people whenever we're being defeated by sin in our lives. There's no way that we will be a rejoicing people whenever our life is a continual defeat and is a continual reliance upon the flesh and not relying upon God. And so we need more grace. And he says, what makes the difference is inwardly, whether we're proud or humble, that makes a difference fundamentally. So the real issue is where we stand. Are we proud or are we humble? I mean, in one sense of the word, for the child of God, very elementary, but we need to be humble. We need to be a people who realize how much we need. We are not independent. We are dependent upon God as his people. And it has never been his will to make, when he saved us, he did not save us so that we would be independent. He saved us to draw us to himself and to cause us to realize how he is the provider, how that he can meet and will meet all of our needs as his people, and that we don't need to be a people who rely upon ourselves for our provision. So what to do about it, though? Verses 7 through 9. So verse 6 says, here's the problem. First of all, we need more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. There's the problem is where are we? Sometimes we are too proud. Sometimes we are proud and we won't humble ourselves. So what do we do about that? Verses 7 through 9 is what to do about it. Verse 7 says, submit to God and resist the devil. Verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. There's two sides to this humility. The humility that he's speaking about here has a positive side of submitting to God and a negative side of resisting the devil. Now, that means that there's two things going on in our life at any given time. One is an appeal to us, to our will, an appeal to us to follow Satan, to do what he wants us to do, to yield to sin and to yield to the flesh and to yield to the world. And then there's, on the other side, there's the Holy Spirit and his guidance of our life and the intentions of our heart to yield to God, to yield to the Lord and what he would have us to do. And so what he says here is in verse number 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. But there's an order to this. It's not just resist the devil and then submit to God. There's an order. And the order is the reverse of that. The order is submit to God. And submission is not a proud thing. Submission says, I need your leadership. I need your direction. I need your commands. I need you to take my life. I need you to take over. I need you to do for me. So when he says submit to God, it is to take him as our king. It is to take him. It is to put him upon the throne of our life. And that's something that's done daily. It's something that's done repeatedly. It's something that's done all the time. That word that is as God's people, that we realize how important it is that we're submitting to God. That's one thing to say. We talk about trusting God, and trusting God, we can say, I'm trusting God with the outcome of whatever it is, you know, and we may be disobeying God at the same time. We may say that we're trusting him, but then we don't want to do what he's told us to do. We just say, Lord, take care of this, even though we're not doing what he wants us to do at all. And we're living in sin, and we're doing that which is contrary to his will. We're not submitting ourselves to God. Well, if the reality is we're not trusting God if we're not submitting to God. The reality is we're not depending upon him and his leadership in our life if we're not following him. We're going a different path and we just want him to take care of us while we go our way. No, he's promised to take care of us when we follow him. He's promised to take care of us and to meet all our needs when we're yielded, when we're submitted unto him. And so don't get the idea, it's wrong for us, and sometimes we'll get that idea that it's just that God's, you know, we just, Lord, just, you know, take care of me through this situation, even though I don't really want to do what you want me to do. We need to be careful about that, and we need to realize that part of trusting God is what the scripture is saying here, is submitting to God, because we're going to be submitting to somebody. You're always going to be yielded to somebody. Somebody's going to take the reins of your life. And taking the reins of our life and taking the reins of our heart is going to be either Satan or is going to be the Lord in one respect, as he's speaking of here. Very fundamental, we know. Very elementary that James is dealing with Christians in a youthful state. But he says there's a basic premise here, and that is that the devil is trying to pull you one way, and God is trying to pull you another way. And as the devil is trying to pull you away, he's pulling you away from God. And he wants you to do things, and he's going to give you things that you might submit to, even though you might think and you might act like you're trusting God. Might think that we're dependent on God, but we're going down the path that's not God's path. It's not the way that he would have us to walk. And so to really be trusting the Lord, to really be dependent on him, is to be submitting to him. And that allows us then to resist the devil. We can't resist the devil on our own. But with God's help, when we're submitting to the Lord, yielding to him, and yielding to his will, what we know to be his command will in our life, then the devil is shut out. I mean, you walk by faith and not walk by sight. You walk by faith and you trust God and you're walking according to his commandments. Then what happens is that the devil, that's not what the devil wants you to do. He doesn't want you to be yielded to God. He doesn't want you to be following closely the Lord. So following him and being able to resist the devil is not something that comes naturally, not even to the believer. It is something that requires that we're submitting ourselves to God. So back to humility. It's that humility. It's submitting. It's not an easy thing to submit. It's not an easy thing to have to say, you know what, I can't drive my own life. I don't know how to do that. God, you're going to have to help me. And so we look to God and his word to give us direction. Then he says, submit yourself to God. And then verse number 8, the next thing he says is draw nigh to God. Now, there's this submitting to him, which is, okay, I'm going to walk according to his command, but then it's draw nigh to God. Now, how do we draw nigh? Okay, it's one thing to submit to him, to be submitted, but it's another thing to be close. In other words, it's like a child could be submitted to their father. He could submit. He could do what the dad told him to do. He said, take out the trash. He goes out there and he takes out the trash and he goes back in, rushes back in, goes to his room, and he's mad and he's all upset. He did what his dad told him to do, but he's not really in tune with of an attitude with his father in which that he's in a good relationship with his father at that moment and fellowship with his father. Well, sometimes we can submit in a sense and yet not really be close to the Lord as we should be. In other words, we're dealing with the subject now of our love and our affection and our adoration and our worship and our honor toward him and our rejoicing in the Lord. Okay, God told us to do these things. And now let's rejoice in him. Let's draw nigh to him. Let's trust him in having done these things. Let's depend on him that this is what you've given me to do, and I'm going to do it, and I'm going to draw near to you. I'm going to worship you for having given these things to me. I'm going to start rejoicing in you and in your ways. There's a difference. There's just a difference. There's a difference between just submitting and drawing nigh. Verse 8 says, after he just got through saying, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. He says, draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to him. And what does he say he will do? Well, that's a wonderful provision that as believers, that when we draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to us. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And so just getting ourselves in a close relationship with the Lord and staying there, staying in a close fellowship with the Lord as his people, knowing how to draw nigh to the Lord. And so we look here and we find, first of all, what to do about this issue of being, whether we're proud or humble. It makes a big difference. Well, part of it is our pride keeps us from submitting to God. Our pride will keep us sometimes from drawing nigh to God. Okay, and then in verse number 9, we see something else we're to do, what to do about it. And verse 9 says, be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Now, I want to point out two words here that are, it's the same word, but it's repeated twice here in this verse that are very important to understanding this verse, I think. He says, be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let, and here's the word, your laughter be turned into mourning, and let your joy to heaviness. What is he saying here? He says that there's a joy that we can have. There's a laughter that we can have that results from what we do. It results from things in this world, or it results from just our own personal pursuits of things that we enjoy. But he says, no, mourn your proud condition. In other words, again, it's back to that proud or humble. And to be humble before God is to realize that even the things that might bring us joy as far as this world is concerned, as far as the things of the world are concerned, then mourn those. Sin has pleasure. There's no doubt about it. Sin, there's pleasures that come with sin. But those are not God's. They're not the provision of God for our lives. And so we have certain joys. We have certain things in this life that are joy to us, and that could be joy to us as a sinner. But we need to be careful as the Lord's people that we do not rejoice in sin. And as he's saying here, again, elementary, mourn those proud joys. Mourn those joys, that those things that cause us, that we think cause us to be happy. We ought to mourn over those things and realize that there is a far greater joy that we have in the Lord and in walking with him. That he can provide something far better to us as his people than what the world can provide, than what the devil can provide, than what our sinful flesh can provide, what our own minds can concoct. The Lord has something better for us. Yielding to him, trusting in him, depending upon him, leaning upon him, submitting to God, drawing nigh to him. Mourn our old condition. Mourn those things that are brought about under sin, and even the things that we enjoy. Mourn those. As we realize in our life that sometimes our affection gets pulled aside unto things of the world, and we can enjoy those things. And God would have us to realize that our joy is in him. And then verse number 10, he says, lastly, humble yourself to God. So what to do about it? Well, finally, just in general, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. God is everything to us as a believer. God is our life. He is our provision. He is our peace. He is our prosperity. He's our joy. He's everything to us. He's all we need. And we are to rejoice in Him. He is our future, and He is taking care of our past, and He is taking care of our present. He is making all the provisions for our present. He's working everything out for our good. Humble yourself to God. Humble yourself to God. Realize that He Himself, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. He's the one who owns you. You belong to Him. I have been bought with a price. And that price is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ upon my life. And I owe to Him everything. I have eternal life with Him. I have peace and joy with Him. And as a child of God, I should, out of love for Him, should humble myself before God. I am not able to live my life on my own. I am not able to have victory over sin apart from His grace. He gives more grace. I cannot have a good communication with other people without God's grace. I cannot decide that I'm going to fix something in somebody's life and not be dependent upon the grace of God. First of all, I'm just not going to be able to do it. I need God to help. I need God to provide. But humble yourself to God is what the Word of God says here. And what will result? So we looked at what's the real issue. Is a matter of pride or humility, an inward condition. What to do about it? Well, there's some steps that he talks about here. Submitting to God and resisting the devil, drawing nigh to God, mourning our proud condition, and just humbling ourselves to God. And then finally, what will result? And that's what it says at the end of verse number 10. And He shall lift you up. He shall lift you up. The songwriter says, I'm pressing on to higher ground. I want to reach higher ground. Well, there's one way to reach higher ground, and it isn't through human effort. It isn't through our own strength, but it is through the grace of God. He gives grace to His people who are humble, truly humble. That humility looks like submitting to God. That humility looks like drawing nigh to God. That humility looks like mourning our proud condition. That humility is humbling ourselves to God, and the result is He will lift us up. We'll receive the more grace that we are lacking. We'll receive the provision that God will give as to us as His people, but we need Him for it, and we need to submit ourselves and yield ourselves and humble ourselves, as the Scripture says here, in order to do so. Humility, it's a big thing. It's not all that difficult a word, but it is a difficult thing to do. It's a difficult thing for us to carry out, to say, hey, I need You every hour. I need You and Your provision, because sometimes we think we can do it, and we can't. God is absolutely essential to our life. We're dependent upon Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Brother Armin, you want to lead us as we close today?